got a couple of things down here to make sure that I know what was said.
Hold on a second.
I'm going to move forward until I have everything written down in my notebook.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Tall But True. What a fantastic show! I'm Ben Bailey. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. DC Benny.
Yes, we are here.
We are here.
Yes.
Every week we do that. I go, I'm here with DC Benny, and you're like, yep.
Here
I'm here, you're here, we are here.
And here we are.
And we're telling stories again. We had Jim Florentine last week. He told some great stories. He told some ridiculous prank stories.
Yes.
Shitting in a bag.
Shopping bag.
And hid it from his partner.
I think that's like simple assault nowadays if you do that. I don't know if you can really do that.
That is the voice of our guest, childhood friend, longtime good buddy of mine, Mr. Jeff Krieger.
Yay.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Also known as Buckley.
Buckley.
Or Uncle Buck.
Yes.
Is where that came from, right?
Separated birth with John Candy.
Yeah, totally.
Let's just hope, you know, the life goes a little bit longer, but...
I think you've outlasted him already.
I have, which I'm kind of on borrowed time at this point, which my wife likes to remind me pretty much every morning, so...
The doctor says I swallow a whole lot of stress, along with a whole lot of pizza.
Yeah.
He was awesome. So once in a while, we have a guest on that's not a comedian or an actor or
Thank
a celebrity.
Thank God, we need a break.
Yeah, we need a break from those egos and our own egos. And we bring in somebody who's a friend of mine or my neighbor. You remember Bryce came on, told a great story. Somebody
like
who can tell great stories. You know Bryce, right?
I love his stories. I love what he, like, his whole concert touring days and everything else.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Oh, he's such a funny neighbor, man.
Yeah.
I remember the first day I met him, he was like, you know, when you go away, Ben, I could pick up your packages for you. And then when I go away, you could pick up my packages for me. I was like, sounds like a plan.
Well thought out.
Yeah. What are in those packages? What would be the next question?
Well, the funny part is, like, I think in the time since that conversation, he has brought in or picked up about 1,000 packages for me. I have never picked up anything for him. Because we order so much shit, and I'm on the road all the time, and he's always around, you know.
Hey, Bryce, my hot tub just came in. If you wouldn't mind just putting on my back deck for me, that would be great.
Just roll it up there and see if you can hook it up and get the thing going before I get back.
The instructions should be in the box.
Don't sit in it.
Right.
Just get it started.
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
He's like Wilson from Home Improvement. Like, he's leaning. He's the guy on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
I'm out in the yard doing something. Hey, how you doing, neighbor? But so once in a while, a non-showbiz person, Jeff Krieger, the latest exception to the showbiz rule.
Yes.
We have a million funny stories just from our time hanging out.
So many.
Most of which would get one or both of us into legal trouble at this time.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
When was that? It was late 80s, early 90s.
So Ben and I first
met. We were really getting in trouble.
Yeah, the first time we met was I remember I was a freshman in high school. I think you were a junior.
Right.
And, you know, being intimidated back in the 80s and being a high school freshman was absolute torture. And I remember you picked me at, like, as I think it was like after track practice. I was on the freshman track team, and you were like Mr. Pole Vaulter guy. And
I'm
standing in the parking lot. I'm like, I got to walk up the hill, get home and everything. And you offered me a ride. I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, you're one of the cooler upperclassmen.
Oh, that's cool. I remember that. I think most of the people listening thought that was going to go a different way.
Yeah.
At
the end,
you're
like,
and you ran over me, you fucking bastard.
and then you threw a bottle at me.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, I remember that. I remember giving you a ride. You kind of were in need of
a little bit of support.
No, just like people were being assholes to you before that, I think.
Yeah, it's easy.
Giving you shit. And then I was like, you know what? I've been that guy too many times. I'm going to give this guy a ride. And we've been friends ever since.
On a very special Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, right.
Ben does the right thing for the roly-poly freshman.
This week on a very special Tall But True.
Roly-poly pole vaulters.
I was not pole vaulting.
The chubby kid.
I was securely anchored to the ground.
Hey, you were like shot put, right?
Shot put, discus, and then the elephant relay.
The elephant relay.
Like, every guy was like 220 pounds or plus trying
we
to run
him into
relay.
To the 4x100 relay.
Everyone's leaving.
Really? Put our biggest, heaviest guys in it. Call it the elephant relay.
Everyone's getting on the bus, and we're still running the
you
race.
Guys are
you know,
still finishing, like, yeah.
But yeah,
track and field, man. I fucking loved pole vaulting. That shit was awesome.
Yeah, I give you a lot of credit for that. Just watching you guys do that scared the crap out of me.
I got scared. I got to where I wasn't scared at first at all, but I got to a point where I was going high enough that I was like, okay, now I'm a little scared.
Yeah, you gotta hit
and
that.
I'm like, this is ironic. I'm a pole vaulter who's afraid of heights.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Woody Allen character. Yeah,
right.
Fuck.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, if you had a car in those days, you had the power. Like, you're a junior in high school and you had a car, it went a long way. Well, actually, I must have been a senior. I couldn't drive junior year.
Maybe it was senior year.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What, you were 88?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. But it's
forget
funny.
That. Everyone listening, you just forget how long ago I graduated high school.
Right.
It's funny the things that like we used to do back then though. It's just it seems different. Like now, you know, where I am now, I work with a lot of, you know, younger kids or millennials, and they don't care about cars. They don't really care about any of those things that we used to that were so prized when we were that age.
What do they like now? Like, what do they
like? Swipe right and, you know, Instagram and all that stuff, I guess.
I don't even know what swipe right is.
That's like,
is that a grocery store?
No, isn't that like Tinder? Isn't swipe right or swipe left?
I don't know. Swipe right.
I don't know. That didn't exist.
Tinder's like order up a girlfriend or order up some sex.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's what I look like. Here's what I look like. If you're game, then.
It's very efficient.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds
would have been nice to have that around, though, a little bit, I think. That
Yeah, things have improved in some ways.
Yeah, in some ways.
Oh, God. It was work. It was work. It was
all imagination back then.
Well, I was even saying it, you know, just trying to meet a girl back then. It was like, it felt like a Homer's Odyssey trying to, like, you know, meet them and, you know,
just
meet
to talk
them somewhere.
To
a lot of sirens out there.
Now you just swipe right, I guess.
You're like, hi.
So
after
high.
6 months I'm sitting across the library going, I'm gonna go and sail. And finally you go up and go, hi, and she just laughs and runs away.
Yeah, your voice goes.
You're like, oh well, back to the drawing board.
I would send a Valentine thing when Valentine's. I wait for a Valentine's Day to come around and then send the girl like a Valentine or whatever. Oh man, when that shit backfired, which was almost always, it was to get like shocked by it or something.
Right.
Like, you never even
said anything.
So
you'd wait and just be like, hey,
yeah,
happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, with the thing.
I got you chocolates or flowers or...
It never worked out for me.
It never worked out.
You're that guy that she was laughing at, you know, with the stud. Yeah, that was kind of me.
All right, we all have that in common.
Yeah, there you go.
I bought a girl a Smurf. I brought her a little Smurfette figurine. Smurfette carrying flowers, and she was like... She was nice with what she said, but her eyes said, what the fuck is this?
Right.
Why are you giving me this? I was like, I like you.
It's different, though. I mean, you know, my kids now, my son just graduated. Jackson just graduated 8th grade yesterday. And,
congratulations.
You know, and my daughter is 9 now, and I kind of look at what they're going through, and it's great. Everything's different now, but it's totally different when we were kids. Like, just think about things that like they can't do, like that we used to do. Like, there's everything's out there. Like, everyone sees everything you're doing. It doesn't matter how old you are. Yeah. Everyone knows your business, and you know, as parents,
you
are
can
scared.
Really, really get banished instead of just partially societally banished.
Used to be like differences of opinion.
Yeah,
this is what happened. No, this is what happened.
What's
now there's like, too? Let's watch the video.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Everybody knows exactly what happened.
Instagram tells a whole different story than what you're saying right now. But
we used to get away with stuff and be left to our own devices much more than kids are now. Like, we used to have adventure time. What I call it looking back. After school, school's done, I come home. I would literally put my bag by the door, not open it at all. And just pick it up on the way out in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I would just leave. As soon as I was home, I would just leave and, like, go down into the woods.
The woods. Yes. Yeah, I know
the
woods.
The woods is like...
Bogey's Bridge.
Yeah, Bogey Bridge, that's right. But, yeah, so I don't feel like kids really have that anymore. Now it's like kids, you don't let them go off and roam around on their own when they're 12.
So my son, he just, you know, turned 14. And, like not more than a couple months ago, was at his buddy's house, literally 3 blocks up the street from us, in a quiet suburban New Jersey town.
Yes.
And, you know, he's hanging out a little later. He's like, oh, is it okay if I come home at 10:30? And text my wife. I'm downstairs. She's upstairs in bed reading, and I'm downstairs watching TV. Then she texts me, would you go get Jackson? I'm like, where is he? Thinking, like, maybe across town. He's at his friend's house, literally three blocks up the street.
Right.
And, like, in a militarized suburban town. Right. Like, three blocks from my house. One street. There's no turns. Right. There's no dark corners. It's one straight shot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think he's good. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, I got to tell you, when I was his age at, like, 14, oh, it was God. Like, yeah. It, yeah, we'd be home by 8, and then the parents would go to bed, and then we'd be out again, and, you yeah. know, yeah. and then,
my
you
parents
know,
would be like, know. Where were you?
Yeah.
I'd be like, wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. I'm
different
fine.
Mentality. You yeah. came home alive and not too bloody, and it was yeah. kind of okay back then.
That's yeah. right. Maybe you were using some words that they hadn't heard you use before because there were some older kids.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, there's no getting away with things anymore. I was watching the news the other day. This kind of got my mind thinking. And it was a special report came on local New York. Like, a kid got into... in like Queens, one of the public schools, he got through security with a BB gun, and this was like the headline news, yeah. like the evening news. Yeah. He has a BB gun. They don't know how he got through. The kid was, the police arrived. They took him out. I mean, this is like the top news in New York. You know, we're not talking like Peoria.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, so when I was in eighth grade, I actually walked to school with a 30-30 rifle. which is a deer hunting gun, which could take down a deer or a large mammal. I wow. brought it to school.
Was it in a case or anything, or you just?
So I went to school.
You had it up,
right?
So I didn't just bring it for the heck of it. So I was really in a wood shop in eighth grade, and had this one wood shop teacher who was just kind of burly guy, was all in the outdoor stuff, and. Right. The eighth grade project was you had to make something, you had to fashion something. And I'm like, my father was a hunter, yeah. had some guns and stuff. I'm like, it'd be cool to get make a really nice wooden case. So I'm making a gun case. So it's right. in just a simple little bag or whatever. I'm like, this would be nice. This is a really nice gun that my dad has. And the shop teacher was all in. He's like, oh, that's right. going to be great. He's like, oh, we'll do like mahogany. We're going to dovetail in the wood and everything. So,
yeah.
So I'm working on the project. I'm putting a lot of effort into it. I'm loving it. This guy's, he's all into it. He goes and gets special brass fixtures and kind of last thing, I get the project done. The last thing we have to measure out to have the foam put into the case to protect the gun.
Yeah. Right.
And what better way than to measure out the foam, but to bring the actual gun to school.
That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah.
You so, brought it in the morning? Like, you showed up in the morning?
Yeah, so I'm like, I say this is like, it's a great idea. I'm like, well, how do we get this done? I'm like, probably not kosher to bring a gun to school. And he's like, well, get a note from your mom. All right. So, it's like a Friday morning. I get up and go do my thing and, brush my teeth and get my backpack and get my dad's Winchester 1894 30-30, lever action rifle and walk.
Lunchbox?
And walk rifle? A mile down to the middle school.
Wow.
With a note from my mom. The fight, nobody even questioned
with
a it.
Rifle in your
hand. Yeah, I just went in. I mean, I had to put in the wood shop in the beginning of the day, measured out, and then I walked home with it.
Oh, wow. God,
and nothing.
Man.
Could you imagine?
Nah. Oh, man.
Today?
They'd shut down the state.
That would be it. There would be talk shows about the troubled youth and their, hunting rifles in school.
Yeah, you'd get taken away from your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be relocated to a home for boys, for wayward boys.
That probably should have happened.
Your whole life. That might have changed. That might have saved you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, things have definitely changed. Just the being alone part, let alone being left alone, let alone carrying a rifle into school.
But being alone without having stuff, you had to go out, when I got home from school, I go to the Rock Creek Park, we go look for crayfish and shit under the flat rocks, and then you go, we used to go by down to Chinatown and buy throwing stars, in sixth grade.
Yeah, we had throwing stars. I don't know where we got them.
Hong Kong shop.
It was called.
Went to the Hong Kong shop.
Where's the Hong Kong shop?
In the mall.
In the mall?
That's right.
Do you remember the mall? Livingston Mall. It's probably still there.
The Hong Kong shop is still there, but the mall is.
It had the best concert t-shirts, or you could get your own thing ironed on. Like, you can get, Fat chicks and mopeds, you know.
Wasn't it like Spencer's Gifts?
That was there too. That was more for, you know, for the lovers, and then there's Hong Kong gift shop for like the concert shirts and the Chinese throwing stars and the nunchucks.
Throwing stars and nunchucks. Oh yeah. My god.
We
all
got
that
those
stuff.
Too. Just what a bunch of 12-year-old boys should have.
Exactly.
Weapons.
Full of throwing
ninja
stars.
Weapons.
Absolutely. And those came to school.
Some idle hands on these young adolescent boys. What else could we throw into the mix?
Fucked up my parents' basement wall with those throwing stars.
Yeah, so did
my dad.
Dude.
My dad hadn't been down in a spackle. Long time. He's like, you're gonna fix every. And I had like drawn a dude. And there was so many holes in that wall. He's like, you're going to patch every goddamn hole in that wall. And I still go down there now, and there's like, you know, there's the outline. Yeah. We painted over it, but man. Oh, yeah.
We had throwing stars and nunchucks and slingshots.
Slingshots, those wrist rockets?
Slingshots
were sent away. Remember the back of the magazines, there was like, if you got like Boys Life magazine. Yeah. In the back, there was like, you sent away for X-ray glasses.
Yeah. Or don't kick sand in the face, those muscles.
One of them was a wrist rocket.
Yeah.
And I saved up and I sent away for a wrist rocket. And it was badass, man. It was metal with like surgical tubing and a nice pocket.
Yeah, like that douche tubing kind of like.
Yes.
It's real
it
high
like
power.
A douche thing, but it, the thing is, it corrodes.
Douche tubing. That's what they
call
it.
Well, it looks like on a douche bag. That same kind of tubing.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Tubing. And I'm a little disturbed that you know what that looks like.
It's like surgical tubing.
Yeah, surgical.
Yeah,
surgical.
I got it.
Douche tubing is better, though.
Yeah.
But I was lethal with that thing.
Oh, yeah.
I shot
marbles,
it so many
rocks.
Times, I could hit shit. From pretty far away, pretty consistently.
But that thing corrodes. That's the thing.
Well,
the
that's
tubing corrodes.
That's
and
it dry rots. It dry rots. Exactly.
I had to keep it. I couldn't keep it in my house. My mom would have found it.
Yeah.
So I had to keep it in a box, buried in the woods, just into the woods. I had a secret little spot. I had a box with my wrist rocket in it.
Oh, I love those things.
And that's exactly what happened. I fucking went and pulled it back one day, and it was like, whoosh, whipped me in the face, and that was it.
I had a friend who tried to shoot a pencil out of it.
Oh, no, like he come back at him?
No, he shot it into his fucking hand. he's like, check this out. He's got this pencil stuck in his hand.
Oh, my God. I think he's hurt. Let's get out of here.
Run for it.
Let's get out of here.
He's really hurt.
That's got to be the dumbest projectile you could ever shoot out of that thing, you know?
Dude.
Long,
right
sharp.
In the,
yeah.
So,
right into the hand.
A friend of ours went to camp one year and brought back two of those from Maine because I couldn't get one in New Jersey.
Right.
So he brings two of them home, you know, with the thing went across your arm to give it more torque and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Yeah, and so my parents, you know, they both worked and we're at home one day, like me and my buddy, and my sister decides to make cookies. And she makes oatmeal cookies but doesn't use, like, baking soda or something. So these things come out of the oven.
Hard, right?
And they're, like, rock hard. She's like, she takes it, but she's like, this is garbage. She, like, you know, hands it to us. So we go up to my room
woo!
With our wrist rockets. We open the window.
Uh-oh.
And we start trying to shoot, like, squirrels and stuff out the window with these hard oatmeal cookies. And my friend hit one.
Hit a squirrel.
And the thing did, like double backflips and just took off.
That's awesome.
And it was kind of, like, scary and thrilling at the same time. Like, oh, my God, what did we just do?
Yeah.
I was like, but that was so awesome.
The power.
I thought you were going to say you started shooting them at cars.
Yeah.
No.
It's a good thing your window faced the back.
We were, you know, we did our thing,
young.
But we weren't that bad. Like, we, you know, it's like we would go over the edge. Like, well, you know, we'll shoot them at squirrels, but we're not going to, like, shoot them at people or cars or anything. Like that.
Another friend of ours and I, in a similar moment, but where we didn't have the same restraint that you did, we just decided, we were like, this would be a good idea. We had all these old bike tires. So we had BMX bikes were big, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I built like three of them and like prided myself on my how badass my BMX bike was.
Yeah.
So I had all these old tires sitting around and we were like, oh, what can we do with these? We're like, well, why don't we stand behind the big tree in the front yard and when cars come by, we'll just roll the tires out in front of the cars. Okay, good idea.
That's a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
No consideration of consequences or anything. And we just decide, yeah, that'll be cool. So that's what we do. We go right out in the front yard, start throwing bike tires in front of cars going by. The first two screech, slam on their brakes, and then just keep going. The third one and the final one, And the door opens. Come here, you little f-. I can't remember which neighbor it was, but he fucking chased us into the backyard. And he was like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? Yeah. I don't know what I'm seeing. I could have been one of you coming after that tire guy. We were just like, oh my God.
You have the,
we never thought about it, anything. Yeah.
The
but-
foresight to maybe go like two blocks over where they don't know you.
Yeah.
Ben Bailey, you get over here right now.
In front of your own house.
I know your mom.
Yeah, yeah totally.
I went to your
Boulevard.
Sister's communion. Get over here.
Everyone in the neighborhood knows each other.
No, we
you stupid kids.
I
we just
felt,
thought it was a cool idea. Yeah. We didn't think beyond that.
No,
you know?
I always felt I had a little bit of a governor. Like there are super consequences, but then you push the boundaries. Like talking about the Home Alone and the lack of like guidance. I mean, I it feels like all our parents kind of both worked. Where I think it's different.
Yeah. Off and on for me, but yeah. Some,
yeah, like
some
my parents both worked, and they're like, look, if you get home by dinner, it's all good, and there's no way to check in. There's no cell phones. You know, maybe find a payphone somewhere, but I remember going to another friend's house, and, you know, the things we would do is like, hey, you're bored. Let's go out to the woods. A lot of things happened in the woods.
Yes.
You know?
That's what woods are for.
And then we'd have firework fights and just start, like, shooting bottle rockets at each other.
Just firing bottle rockets at each other.
Or more to the point, shooting bottle rockets at his little brother.
Yeah.
You know, and chasing him through the woods with roaming candles and things like that. So we're out one day. So this is where it goes from, fun, innocent, friend, funly, things. And then all of a sudden, it steps over the bounds. We're walking back, and his little brother, probably a little, pissed off at everything that happened.
Yeah, because you guys have been
lights
his own fireworks
candle,
at him.
And he shoots me in the back.
Oh, no.
And I don't know what was in
with
the
a
laundry.
Roman candle.
Yeah, with a Roman candle. So a little fiery ball.
Which
hits
like
me in the back.
A fireball, yeah.
Which wouldn't hurt you, but there's something about like the fabric detergent or something my mom was using. And my buddy to this day says a giant blue flame went up on your back.
Wow.
And I just feel this rush of heat. And he's like, get down. And I just went right down to the ground. And it went out. I mean, it didn't catch fire, but I was like, yeah. Hey,
you
rub it
farted
off.
Right before.
Exactly.
Right before that thing hit you. Wow, that's scary.
Just stupid things. But, we survived. We're here, right?
Can you imagine kids running through the woods shooting Roman candles at each other now? Like, I just can't. I can't see it happening.
Yeah. Again, it would be like a code red. The whole force would come out and the firefighters. And
Things were just different then. Like,
counseling.
We used to run from the cops when they came around just so they'd chase us.
Yeah.
We had nothing, we didn't do anything.
Well,
they'd
chase sometimes
us down and go, why'd you run? And we'd be like, no reason.
And we always threw snowballs at the cop cars. We always threw
snowballs.
And we had a special hill.
See, where we grew up, if you did that, though, they would chase you down the cops.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they chased us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did they?
There was this hill. It was a specific hill that the guy had to park the car. He couldn't drive up, and he would chase you, and he had those cop shoes. So it was snowy out. So he'd be like, just fucking pegging him with snowballs.
Yeah, those cop shoes.
Yeah.
And we all just got that picture of
they don't
the
have
worst
the
shoes in the world you could be chasing people in.
They were the slidey ones back in the 70s or whatever it was.
Thick leather, slippery bottom.
Now they'll traction right on up that hill and catch your ass.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Taser you.
Cameras everywhere. They'll know exactly, especially where we grew up. It was such a small town. Everybody knew everyone's business. Remember that one time we're at our friend's, we used to do a lot with film, making movies. Like we're bored, so one friend had like the video camera, so we go and get everything. Actually, 80% of these stories revolve around fireworks. By the way,
right.
So let's just be clear. But that's a boy's thing. Like, let's get fireworks.
It's all right. This is all.
There's always one kid. There's one kid in high school that always had fireworks, and you went to go buy the fireworks from him, and they're a huge markup. Mm-hmm. But if you couldn't go to Chinatown, New York, you went to this kid and you get the fireworks. And they're like knocking the side door, and it's like, you're going to buy drugs. Like, can I speak to T? Can I speak to T?
Yeah,
I think I'm talking.
Who
like,
sent you?
And T would come. His mom would be like, all right, go get him. You come down. And be like, we want to get some fireworks. Like, all right, what do you want? And like a Grossa bottle rockets. Like, that's going to be like $18. Markup was like 3,000%.
Yeah, yeah. Because he went into New York and got them.
Yeah, he was brilliant. The guy was a great middleman. But, so back to that story, we're out making movies. We're trying to make little movies with little like cars and stuff and have them blow up, and then it switched to us, and we'd be like, you know, like cops and like running around like detectives and stuff. And of course you have to have good special effects, and fireworks always revolve around that. So we're messing around with it, and you know, somebody, you know, puts a firework in, which is probably more of a firework than should have happened. It was like an M80 or something.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Talking about like dodging bullets and not like blowing fingers.
You're talking about the remote control car?
Yes. Yes.
The whole idea that this is a really funny story. That we're trying to shoot a scene where we are driving in a car and it blows up.
Yeah.
So one of our friends had a blue car, and we all piled into the car. We were pretending to drive. And people were pretending to go by, shuffling past outside. It's all hokey as hell, but it was fun.
It was a brilliant movie.
Yeah.
And the way we show the car moving, which is ridiculous because it was a functional car. We could have just filmed us actually driving in it.
Yeah.
Instead, we faked it, sitting in the driveway and moving the camera past the car, and we're all like pretending we're driving along. And then we would cut to
the remote control car,
and then it blows up, right? So it's supposed to be like, here's these guys driving in a car, and then here's a wide shot of the car, right. and then boom. So we shoot all of us in the car, and we're like, ah, oh, we're all laughing hysterically, and we get the remote control out, and we put a friggin' M80 in the remote control car.
Probably a little overkill. Yeah.
A little overkill.
A little overkill.
It's not even a foot long. And but so it's just like, it's not what they are now. The remote control cars, they're pretty awesome these days. But so it's just cruising along the driveway, and then an M80 just obliterates it. It just like
it echoes throughout the entire town.
Just is like
an house rat is like a half a block from downtown. Oh. So it sounds like it's a power explosion. It's like a, you know, is it
shook the whole fucking town. It was ridiculous. And so we were all like, oh my God, that was amazing. But it was too much. We better get in the fucking house.
Something happened. So we go to the basement.
We ran right upstairs into the living room, and our friend's dad is in there. First generation Italian American. Hilarious. Like, we kind of get away with a lot of shit at their house.
Spoke as much English as he wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we go in there and we sit down, and he knows. He's like, we're all kind of panicking, but trying to play it cool. And he knows what's up. He just heard it. And so he basically is like, did you make the video?
Yeah, he's a
to his son. And
a few
he's
minutes
like,
later,
yeah, yeah.
We kind of
goes,
what's going
oh, put
on.
It on, put it on. So we put on the video, and there we are in the car, like, yay. And then we get to the part where it's the remote control car in the driveway, and it just goes, boom, and someone pauses it. So then it's just quiet, and we're looking at the frozen screen, and we hear, we open the door, it's the cops. And they're like, yeah, did you guys, we got a call about like an explosion, like a boom, like a loud boom. And we're all just sitting there looking at him, wide-eyed, waiting for our friend's dad to respond. And there's a fucking picture of the explosion happening on the TV. And he just goes, no boom.
Closes the door.
Shuts the door and leaves. And that's it. There's like little bits of the remote control laying around the remote control car everywhere.
There's probably still smoke like kind of flowing up into the atmosphere.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cops like, what do we do?
No boom.
No boom.
Okay. That's awesome.
What do you want me to do? The guy said no boom.
Yeah. He didn't rat. He didn't rat.
Yeah.
So funny.
We would have, I mean, again, back to the same theme.
I just can't.
Wouldn't happen today.
No, my kids would just want to do
it. You know what? It would happen today, but it would be us doing it.
It's still
it wouldn't be our kids. It would be us.
You know, talk to my lawyer, okay?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. You can talk to my lawyer about it.
When I grew up, you could do this sort of thing.
Oh, God.
This is horrible. When
I can't wait to hear it now.
It's horrible, man. I'd left my parents' house. And my brother was there. Both my brothers there. My one brother was like, every morning, man, there's this fucking crow. And this crow's right outside my window. And it wakes me up every morning. It's driving me crazy, man. He's like, I got this BB gun. And I shot it at it. But I can't. The crow, I can never hit it. And I'm like, you can never hit it. It's fucking outside the window. He's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I'll get it tomorrow morning, right?
Right.
So I wake up the next morning. Right? So I don't know what... anyway, I stepped this BB gun out the window. Boom. One shot. The crow's like, ah!
That's that not terrible. It. That's awesome.
It's, but, and, it's, and, but I
it's like legend of Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
And I mean, my brother's like, holy problem. Shit. Holy shit. You shot the crow, right? So then this thing's huge. And, you know, we went down. I felt awful about it. It felt like really bad. Yeah. I don't know what I don't know why I thought it, I wouldn't feel bad or whatever. I didn't think I was going to hit it, but I just one shot I hit it. So we had to like stash the crow somewhere.
You guys had to hide the body?
We had to hide the body somewhere. Yeah, because my mom would have flipped out if she knew
that
we had shot the crow.
She loves crows.
Oh, yeah, she loves crows. Had a thing about crows. We kept moving it to different trash cans, and then the trash would only get collected once a week, so it's sitting in a trash can. And then we started getting ballsy and to fuck with each other. Someone would get the crow and put it out in the other one's room. You go to bed and you're like, ah, Jesus, you know,
that fucking dead crow.
You'd open
in
the
your
door
bed
and go,
smelling.
Yeah, and then eventually, I remember it. BB guns were so much. That same BB gun, when I first got a BB gun, it's like, you know, the thing about BB guns is
you'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah.
You'll shoot your eye out.
But you start shooting
a
little.
Get a Christmas Story reference in there with talk of BB
you
guns.
You got it with the BB gun.
Yeah.
But you'll shoot like normal. They give you the paper targets to shoot, and that's what it starts at.
Yeah.
But it always escalates.
Yeah. You're like, what else could I aim?
You're like, what else? It's a fucking BB gun. So I remember I'd shot everything, and I'm in my parents' house, and my room faced the neighbor's house, and I was just like, I wonder what would happen if I just shot at that window. And I was like, straight, and I was like, oh, that was kind of fun. And I had just gotten this BB gun, right?
Are you shooting out their windows?
I shot out my neighbor's fucking window,
God,
right?
Dude.
But it went. It didn't blow out the window.
Again?
It just made the little holes, right?
Right.
Then I was like,
"So it doesn't, nobody's going to know that. Nobody's going to
know.
Right?
No follow.
Was it like a hailstorm come through here?"
So
one of those sideways hailstorms.
An hour later, the guy was from
pellets.
I guess he was from Denmark, or I think he was from Denmark, or a Norwegian guy or something. And I see him outside, and he's like looking at the window, and I see him take his finger and like make these little holes, and then he looks towards my room, and I'm ducking. So he comes over. So my
shit,
whole thing
dude,
is.
You must have been shitting.
Oh, I was shitting bricks. And my whole thing is I'll just deny it. I'll just deny it, right?
It wasn't me.
It wasn't the kid who just got the BB gun who lives next door, right? So my dad comes up. He's like, did you shoot out that window next door with that? Give me that BB gun, right?
You're wearing isotoner gloves.
Oh, God, man.
So wipe
like,
it down.
No.
Couldn't have been me, Dad.
Totally got busted. The BB gun got taken away. And that was within like 2 days of having it. You know?
Oh, fuck.
It was, dumb decisions are made. But God,
dude,
it was fun.
It was so fun that I had that wrist rocket.
Those are the best.
And you remember those? I don't know if you had them in your town, but in the town that we grew up in, there's streetlights on telephone poles every so however far on the road.
Yeah.
And maybe one in five of those, or maybe more, has got a little emergency box on
yes.
it, and it's got a little blue light bulb.
Yeah,
I could shoot those fuckers out.
Oh wow!
From 50 yards away.
Did you use the pellets or just rocks?
I had
or
pellets.
Yeah,
I had the big pellets.
Yeah,
that's like serious. Like the pellets are serious,
dude. Yeah. I think about what I was doing now. Like it was horrible. I'm shooting out emergency lights. One time, my friends were like, "Shoot out the big one. Shoot out the street light." I'm like, "No, no." And they're like, "We're gonna try to hit it with rocks." I'm like, "Okay." So I'm waiting, just sitting around, and they're throwing rocks, and they're like, and they start egging me on. You couldn't do it. You're just bullshitting. You couldn't hit that. And I'm like, bang, and I shot out the fucking streetlight, and for some reason the next one down went out, and we were like, oh! we were like, oh my god, we knocked out
the whole town.
So then we took off, we're just running as fast as we can, and it just felt like lights were going out as we were running. It was like this high adventure moment, you know. We're like, oh my god, I feel like we were in a war, man. The lights were going out and we were running for our lives.
Nah, I just can't see my kids doing any of that.
No, it's just gone.
Which
is better.
Yeah, I guess so.
It is better, but you kind of like, you know, that felt like you felt alive. Like that was like to be a kid, man. You're
so
like, you got away with something.
Moments. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Blowing shit up and shooting. I got sent to stay on a farm in Indiana when I was in sixth grade.
A farm for wayward boys.
Yeah. And we would do like demolition work. Yeah.
Send them to the farm.
Yeah.
What did you do? What got you sent to the farm?
DC on the work farm.
Wipe it off, boss.
I'll tell this.
Just shaking the bush, boss.
It's basically, all right. Basically what happened, and I don't know if
this is too personal. You don't have to get into it.
Nah, I'll fucking tell it.
I'm just curious.
Still pending in court.
None of this has been settled yet.
There was this dude in the neighborhood that was an ice cream man. This guy, did you ever hear me tell this story about
the
ice
cream man? Is that a euphemism
for
something?
No, he was a real, maybe.
Quote unquote, ice cream guy, and I happen to be the cone.
That's basically, there was a dude in the neighborhood that, and he had the ice cream shop, and as a kid, you know, this is like,
you told us on
grade.
The old show on yeah. Urban Myth.
Yeah.
Way back when, I remember. Go ahead, sorry about
that. I don't know if I'd tell the whole thing or whatever, but
there was an incident.
There was an incident, let's just say. And there's this ice cream dude basically, you know, was trying to molest boys in the neighborhood.
Wow,
you know?
That was just a guess.
Yeah, no, it was for real. Wow. It was for real. And it was like, you know, you would go on his truck and it was a big thing to be on the truck.
It's a very religious neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Catholic Church.
but nobody knew, man. Nobody knew.
I wish you guys listening could see the looks I just got from these two guys. We're like, oh my God.
My face just blew up in fire. I'm sweating.
All right.
To change my name.
Don't cross any lines, okay? I have a job.
Change my name on this.
Oh, shit. Well, long story short with it, I won't tell. I'll tell the whole thing some other episode. But long story short, this guy tried to fucking molest me, and I just had a. I couldn't really tell. You couldn't really tell anybody because it's like the ice cream man. Like people just didn't know. You know, you wouldn't. I was like, maybe it was something I did or whatever. So I just went on like this fucking crime spree, a sixth grade crime spree to like compensate for it. And I ended up getting sent to, it was like a farm and I was staying with this, I guess he was like my godfather's kid was also on this farm. And we'd have to go do like demolition work and stuff during the day, but then we'd have a day off. And there was this redneck kid, and this guy would just blow shit up. Like, we would just, we would go blow. He would make bombs out of shit. We'd make, like, fucking Molotov cocktails. It just, you know, this dude was hardcore, man. We had like, knives and shit. We'd go up into woods.
So it wasn't really what it was meant to be.
No. Really going
to
reform you.
Just learn how to be more destructive.
Reform you.
Yeah.
You go out and blow shit up in the woods.
It honed your craft as a criminal.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're gonna reform
a gun for hire
into a terrorist.
It was the best. It was the best. But I remember,
wow,
that was fucking awesome, man.
I loved it. Sorry we went down this rabbit hole.
but it's you know. But I remember in the midst of blowing it up, we would go into town one day a week, like when we do the demolition work, we you know do whatever, you blow shit up, and then one day a week he would drop us to town. He'd be like, "Be good, don't." And we were like, okay, we're gonna be good. We had the spitball phase where you would make spitballs and shoot them out of a
straw. Shoot them from a straw. Oh,
we got really, really good with it. Really good. So we were sitting in this movie, in that movie Moonraker, that old James Bond movie.
Yeah.
And we were shooting people with spitballs, and we were like, it was like the funniest fucking thing. It was so funny to us, and I'll never forget the kid I was with. His name was Jay. There was a lady about three aisles back, and she was like, ugh, and she yawned, and he turned around and went, phew, right, and I heard her go,
and it went right in her throat.
He shot it right down her throat. Right?
Oh, my God.
So the usher came in, this lady's fucking choking, she's like, right?
Oh, my
the usher
God,
came
dude.
In shining a flashlight, and we're sitting there dying laughing, but you can't laugh, you know, when your face is going to explode.
Oh, yeah.
We're sitting there shaking. We're the only two like kids in Moonraker, and the guy's shining the flashlight, we're just looking ahead, you know, and he fucking knows it's us, you know. I got the straw all mushed up in my hand. He's like, you guys wouldn't know anything about anybody shooting any spitballs here, like, we're trying to watch James Bond. Oh my God, it was the best shot ever. Just
right in the throat.
Right, the yawn, the timing. But I mean, now you would go to, you know, who knows what happened now.
Dude, that's pretty crazy.
Even out,
he wouldn't even be at that movie now.
Yeah.
You know, parents were called in.
Mm.
Trouble.
Yeah. Assaulted, why was my child at a movie with your child that neither one of them was supposed to be at? They were at your house. Right? It just wouldn't be left to...
My mom used to
go to Ben's. I'm going to DC's. That's it, you know?
Yeah, that's what we used to do.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going over to whoever's. And I'm going over. He'd say he's going to my house. And then we go to New York and buy
beer.
When
was the first time you saw titties in a movie or, like, you know, stuff you weren't supposed to see when you were, you know, a kid? Like,
so young. I was pretty young because I would stay up. Everyone in my family would be in bed already. And I would get up and go back downstairs. And put, you know,
Super
put on
TV or whatever.
So, put on Cinemax.
Skinemax.
Like, oh, so I got baby.
I get a good story about that. When we were 6th, 7th, 8th grade, there was one kid. Like, not a lot of people had, like, cable even back then was still kind of spotty.
Yeah, yeah.
One kid had everything, new, including Cinemax. Like, you know, most, if you had cable, you had maybe HBO.
Yeah.
But one kid had with it. One kid had Cinemax.
Right.
And
Unscrambled.
Unscrambled, and he used to stay up late, and he would video. He would videotape the Skinemax. This is like seventh grade, and he would bring the videos in, and he wouldn't give them away for free. He would rent them out to other kids in seventh grade. So he was running. He was a soft porn, soft core porn.
Is this the same fireworks kid?
No, totally different kid.
Totally different kid.
And did it for a while, and then one kid got caught by his mom. And then the jig was up. It was like the whole hierarchy. It's almost like the street drug dealer hierarchy. Yeah. Like there's a go between guy down. Got busted, and next you know this kid was down, and he got caught and got suspended. A family you would know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a family you would know. Oh. But yeah, that was it. Like that was is that, and then there's always like.
I thought you were going to say his mom caught on and then she started renting
stuff
out.
No, another kid, another kid's mom. Exactly. And she did even
this
better.
Is pretty lucrative.
Yeah, that was, and then there was always like, I don't know, back then it was like, you always had like, you know, your buddy. I always say the buddy my mom didn't want me to hang out with.
Who had
the older brother that had all the good shit. Had like all the magazines and stuff. And then you're like really young and like, you got to see this. And it's like, the Chinese stars and the nunchucks and then the Playboys and Wii or whatever
thought the vagina hole was in the front, like under the pubic hair in the front. And then when I saw the first one, I don't know why I thought that. Like, because I guess, you know.
You're like, oh, it's underneath.
It's under there. Oh, I thought it was like a hole in the front under hidden by the pubic hair. And it just blew my mind when I saw one. I'm like what's wrong with that one? No, they're all like that.
They're all like that. When I saw the first one, you were in an art history class.
Oh, I don't remember where the hell.
Looking
that
at
was.
A Georgia O'Keeffe painting. Oh my God! They faced that way.
I love flowers so much. I don't know what it is. Mom, can we get some orchids?
we snuck into that movie Caligula.
That's a famous single X movie, right?
Yeah,
that was like one of the first, like,
I mean, it was
like,
full,
whatever.
It was full on.
It was full on. And full on what? What happened?
Full on fucking in it. Yeah, yeah. And every sense of it. And there was a theater in Georgetown in D.C. that would play, it's all it played was Caligula.
Wow.
And so it was known, like, you people, you know, it was just Caligula. So we would sneak in there and be like, holy shit. That's when I figured out the vagina's holes, actually.
They face.
Yeah, they're a different direction. There's a whole different, there's a lot of stuff.
Then you're like,
that's
how they pee.
Yeah, right.
Now I get it.
Could you imagine, like, I don't know. I couldn't imagine a kid like getting into one of those places now. Like,
remember
going to New York?
Have them
remember going to New York? I mean,
they don't even have those places.
Yeah,
anymore.
They don't exist. But we're 25 miles west of the city growing up, and it was like, you know, we would just go and get on the train, like 13, 14 years old, get on the train in
just
the 80s.
Just go into the city.
When it was like, when it was the scary city, and like Times Square was not like Disney. It was.
Yeah.
You know,
I lived there when it was. I lived next to Show World when it was when I moved to the city, and it was.
Can you
disgusting.
Still smell it?
Oh God, man, it was disgusting. God. It was so nasty.
But we would, we would pop in the, those shows and those stores and stuff. I mean, just like it was like that nervous anticipation of going. You're like,
we went
to
the city.
Something good in here.
It was usually to get booze or fireworks. I remember going to Chinatown to get fireworks. It was like you thought you were gonna die. at one
but it
point.
Was so
but
awesome.
You'd come out with them, but you'd be like, they'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Follow me. And then you go, and like you go down one stairway, and now you're behind the row of buildings that you were just in front of.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Whoa, it opens up.
Everything's different now.
It's Year of the Dragon.
And then you go like across the courtyard, and then they make a left and go down another stairway.
Past the cockfights.
And then another stairway. And
the
then you
opium
go,
den.
You just keep going through rooms, and you're like, where the fuck am I? If I had to find my way out of here, I'm, you know.
They might try to take an organ.
Yeah, totally. I'm leaving here with all my kidneys.
How much is that? You one kidney?
It was scary.
My dad used to send me to buy cigarettes for him when I was like in fourth or fifth grade. They give me a note.
Yep.
And I go to the Chinese restaurant, and I never even had to show the note. They knew me. They had a cigarette machine right by the cash register. It was called the Peking. And I go in there, and you just had to have the quarters. The lady didn't give a shit. You know, I get like two packs of Marlboro Reds and pedal, and I get a little left over to get some ice cream for me and ride my little bike back. But now, forget about it.
My wife used to do that all the time.
Oh, yeah?
She would always joke about it. She's like, yeah, we go down and get some cigarettes and come back, and Mom would be like, oh, the fogger's out. The DDT truck's coming and blowing DDT all over the shit. And they go out and play in the DDT. You know, let's go play in this highly toxic chemical. Oh, this
everyone's
is fun.
Being poisoned
this
anyway.
This is fun. This is like the day you look forward to in the summer, the fogger truck's out.
I slept so well after breathing all that. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
God.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy, man.
Yeah, remember, they would spray hardcore.
We used to get...
For the gypsy moths.
Yeah.
Remember?
That was it.
Caterpillars.
It was the gypsy moths.
Yeah, they would
save the trees and kill the kids.
Yes, kill the children, but
but
the trees
look
alive.
They
look trees
great.
Look good.
The trees
yeah.
look fantastic.
And
no foliage. Caterpillars.
Those
all,
oaks look wonderful.
Yeah. The kids are all deformed. And I don't know how people do it. Still, they get their yard fertilized, sprayed with chemical fertilizers, and then their kids are out playing in the grass.
Yeah.
Like several hours later, I'm like, your lawn looks great, but.
Your kid's growing a third arm.
Are you
arm.
Thinking about what you're doing? Put a little thought into it, man.
So my son Jackson did a school trip down to D.C., down in their hometown. They did that a couple weeks ago before graduation. And before that,
that's a big deal.
Oh, it's great. He loved it. You know, they do such a great job, and they get to see everything, and they're with their buddies and everything.
Right.
But like leading up to it, there was the massive orientation. You know, the parents come and meet the principal, and this is like, you know, literally they have. Off-duty police officers come on the trip, plus chaperones. Nothing's going to happen to these kids.
Right.
Remember our trips in high school?
Oh my God.
School trip with a certain language club in New York City.
Oh,
it was like we go
to
one place. Let's call that teacher TR.
Okay. We can call him by his name. He's already been through it.
It's like, here's the German club. We're going into the city. We go to a German restaurant. And he's with his wife. Okay, guys, we'll see you at 5 o'clock, and we'd hightail down to Chinatown or down to the South Street Seaport where we can get beer from
where
the packing.
We can
drink. We're like 13 years old, sitting on the sidewalk,
smoking,
drinking beer,
drinking.
And smoking.
Awesome.
On a school trip.
Awesome.
Yeah,
dude, I mean the ultimate.
Yeah. I had a note, so I had a note from my mom, so it was all right.
The ultimate one is the Germany trip.
Oh God.
I mean that just wouldn't happen. When I was a sophomore, I went with 35 other kids. And we went in on an exchange program, lived in Germany for like a month. The teacher, our German teacher, and his wife brought all of us, just the two of them, 35 kids, flying to Germany.
To the Vaterland.
Yes, to the Vaterland.
Every year he did this.
And on the way there,
every year.
I think our plane got rerouted or something. Somehow we ended up in Switzerland for a day and a night. 35 15-year-old American kids. We land in Zurich, and our teacher just goes, okay, here's the hotel. I'll see you guys in the morning. It's like noon.
Oh, wow.
And we're like, woo! Like, we just went crazy.
Yeah.
We were at a grocery store standing around a keg because you could get a beer in a grocery store there.
Yeah.
We just went to a grocery store and we're just standing in the aisles of a grocery store just pounding beers. Then we went to a bar. Like, we just drank all day and smoked and, like, we went nuts. In the middle of the party at, like, 1 a.m., we're partying so hard in my room that the walls were shaking. Everyone's just going crazy. And then, again, a knock on the door. We open it. It's our German teacher. Everyone's frozen. And he goes, You guys have some cheer you could sell? He wants to buy beers from us. So we sell him a couple of beers. He hangs out with us. Wow. He's smoking with us. Like, it was crazy.
He would do this. So he ran this trip every year. So a couple years later, I went on it with my buddy in the fireworks.
Right.
And, you know, he'd read the first thing before you go. He'd read the Riot Act. Like, you know, yeah. There's to be no drinking, you know, socially, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Right.
That's why we signed up.
And, like,
up.
When you
are
get,
you
and
me?
Then, yeah, and then you get on the plane and it's like, the gloves are off. Like, we're smoking. We're smoking cigarettes in the plane.
Yeah.
9 hours to Germany, chain smoking because we never smoked before. Our kids getting sick. We get there. And, like, of course, they're throwing a big, like, barn party the first night, kind of like what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the barn party. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, get the first beer all psyched. And sure as shit, there is the teacher standing there. And everyone's like, oh, we're fucked.
Oh, we're not going to be able
he
to
He fucking
drink.
Did it. Yeah, and he comes over and is like, hey, God. Like, beer. He's like, hey.
We're overseas. It's different.
I went on that trip, and my buddy, you know, his mom had studied in had studied down in Austria.
Right.
And her house frau, as they call them, who she stayed with, was still alive. She was like 95 years old. And his mom kept in touch with her. So it was like, well, why don't we go and visit her like nephew and everything else. So again, 14, 15 years old, we board a train in Bremerhaven, Germany, and take
way up north
a 16-hour train ride by ourselves down to Vienna, Austria.
Holy shit.
Again, there was no parental supervision or anything.
No, you guys were like, we're going
to
Austria.
We had our passport. I mean, that was about it.
Passport and some pretzels. So you're good to go.
We'll see you tomorrow.
God, that was the first time.
Week. Bye.
It was great. We went down. I remember we're down there, and the lady's nephew was like, he was a journalist or a writer for a magazine. So he's like, oh, I got all these credentials. You know, you guys want to see a concert while you're here? Like, yeah, that'd be great. So he's like, all right, well, you can use my press credentials to get into Manhattan Transfer, the soft jazz band. No, remember, I'm 14 years old. Like, I'm listening to Rush. I'm listening to, like, Led Zeppelin. Manhattan Transfer is playing. Oh, yeah, this would be awesome.
Yeah, let's do that.
So my friend and I were like, oh, we got to look great for this. So we go out. Like, all the money we have, we go and we buy blazers. Like Euro blazers, you know?
Right.
Like,
you guys
almost like Don
up
Johnson
like
kind of blazers. We're all ready. We go to the concert. We go up to, like, the, you know, the will call for press or whatever. And we're like, yeah, we're here, you know, Peter H's tickets. Like, we don't know what you're talking about. There's no tickets here. Well, he's, you know, he's press. Yes, but he's left no message for tickets for you. We're like, but this is the thing. He's like, can you talk to him? No, no tickets. So we're sitting here completely crestfallen. We're in our nice jackets.
And your
just
new
sitting
blazers.
There, everyone goes in the concert, and then you hear the music, and we're just standing outside the venue. You're like, man,
this sucks. So you just didn't get in?
We didn't get in. We left. We went to, like, a discotheque. We found a discotheque that we went to every night we were there.
Right, you went back to the same spot.
Yeah, but it was cool.
But you had new jackets.
God, yeah. Literally, 15 years old, I felt like such an adult, so important, no supervision.
Yeah.
And you know, my son is a year away from that, and I just couldn't see that happening.
Well, just make sure he doesn't listen to this.
He will. He will. He's definitely will. He's listening to a good number of them. He's excited for this because he doesn't know the story, so he wants to listen to this.
Oh, boy.
Sorry,
Jackson. Things
Jackson,
are different now.
You're not doing any of this, buddy. I know where you are.
Those days are over.
Maybe the
people
blazer.
Went to
maybe
jail.
The blazer.
Maybe you wore a blazer yesterday. Yeah. You look good. But that was where my friend and I were introduced to Red Bull for the first time for the train ride back, which was a huge mistake because and it was different back then. The Red Bull had other stuff.
It had
in
real
it.
Cocaine in it, then, didn't it?
I don't know about that, but maybe the chemical equivalent of it. But it was like strong, and plus, never drank coffee at 15. It was just what it was. And the ride oh my God, the ride back, there's pictures out there somewhere. My buddy, like, the train's full and you have, like, assigned seating carts, and I sit in one of the carts and in one of the cars, and there's an older gentleman, like, he's wearing the Tyrolean hat and, like, you know, looks like a what you'd think, like, Swiss Mrs. Dad would look like.
He's wearing lederhosen?
Yeah, everything. So my friend goes and leaves the cart, and we're, like, tweaking at this point. Like, he's just out of his mind. I'm like, I can't be near him. So he comes back, and I'm, like, trying to ignore him. I'm, like, got the shivers, and I'm giggling, like, out of control. And this poor guy's just sitting here, like, reading a book. And he comes by, and there's a glass door to get into the aisle of the cart of the car, the train car, when you walk by. Right. And he comes by with a newspaper with two eye holes cut out and comes right up to the glass, and the guy's face is right next to it, and he's staring at the guy, not more than 4 inches from the guy's face. And this poor man is just trying to read his book and ignore the two tweaked out 15-year-old Americans that are making his 15-hour train ride to northern Germany, absolute hell. So somewhere he probably, he probably told that to his kids before he met his grandchildren.
Those Americans. Those Americans.
He was looking through the paper at me. I could not concentrate.
Oh, God.
That's crazy. Man. That is crazy.
Things have definitely changed since those days.
What was your favorite toy that you had when you were...
I had this awesome...
Evil
Knievel... motorcycle guy that you could wind up. No, you wound him up and went ring, 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 ring.
I remember that thing.
And then it was like,
you want to see how fast you can get it going?
Yeah,
I'd set up jumps. Scraping your knuckles, trying to get it going really, really fast.
I'd build a jump and launch it at that and see how far I could get him to jump. And I also loved Stretch Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, I remember Stretch Armstrong.
He was one of my favorites.
I remember Stretch Armstrong. That's great.
That was an easy toy that you wanted to destroy when you got a little older. It's like, get the BB gun, get the fireworks, stretch your own shoot him. Going down.
Yeah, so you can pull his arms off.
Well, that's the best when the toy has the double life. Like, I had the G.I. Joes. I loved the fucking G.I. Joes. But then you get to an age where you're like, I'm going to just destroy the G.I. Joes, have the BB gun.
Yeah.
And then they're the best targets ever.
Oh, they
ever.
Are.
Yeah,
definitely. You know?
Yeah, they're fun at first for one reason, and then later they're fun for another. You get to blow them to shit.
Toy keeps giving, right?
Yeah. There was that phase when we first discovered fireworks, I remember, and we were just blowing up all kinds of shit. And I think I was very lucky. I had a moment where I lit just a firecracker.
Yeah.
And I was throwing it, and it fucking blew up. And my forefinger and my thumb were just
you feel
throbbing.
It, yeah.
You like there's
throbbing.
Yeah.
They were fine. I could move them. I didn't lose one.
Yeah.
But if that hadn't happened, something worse may have because I developed a healthy fear of them at that moment.
Yeah, me too. Once that happens, and those were the little black cat ones or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But if that was an M80 or something,
I would have blown my hand off. Yeah. Right now.
You wouldn't have gotten your big NFL contract.
Yes, you're right.
Or it would have been delayed maybe. Yeah.
I never would have made the Pro Bowlers Hall of Fame.
Too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon. Oh, God. Shoot, man.
That's funny, man.
Good stories, gents.
Yeah.
Things are not what they used to be. Go back 10 years before that, or, before we were kids. Imagine being a kid in, 1960s, 70s, we were little kids. I was the little kid. If you were a teenager in the 70s, the shit you could have gotten into, people were still driving around drinking beers then. No seatbelts.
No seatbelts.
Everything was much more laid back.
Driver's license were optional. You'd be like,
you could just beat the shit out of someone.
Just take the car and go.
If they did you wrong in a deal, you could just beat the shit out of them.
Oh, boys will be boys.
Virtually no consequences at all. Yeah. Things are different.
Boys will be boys.
Well, he did owe him money, didn't he?
He ratted.
He was an American.
He told his wife what he was doing. Of course he beat the shit out of him.
He got what he deserved.
Yeah, exactly. No longer. And I think it's better. There's no... are there bullies? There's not really bullies like there were.
Yeah, it's like cyberbully kind of stuff now. Right. It's all kind of a different tune.
The bullies used to be so goddamn scary. We had to go to school and they... I'll see you after school. Or they just once they honed in on you.
Yeah, if they found out that they could upset you or...
We beat up one kid. It was just a pain in the ass. It wasn't really... He was just so... he just would drive everybody crazy, and finally got to a point, and we got in a fight. A couple guys, roughed them up a little bit middle school roughing up and stuff. And we got caught going to see the principal.
Right.
And this would never happen. The principal sits us down, look, I know he's an asshole. But you just can't beat him up on school grounds. Now get out of here. Yeah.
Until you're off the...
Yeah, now it'd be you'd be there with your lawyers and with the detective, it's different.
I remember we had a thing where we were we were making the younger kids carry hall passes, We were in like 7th or 8th grade, and 4th and 5th graders were like, if we see you in the hall and you don't have a hall pass, you're going to get a fucking beaten.
You made up your own hall pass?
We made our own hall passes.
Oh, my God. And that's wrong on so many levels.
Oh, it's terrible. Awful shit.
Oh.
But we got, of course, got busted. And it's a very similar kind of thing. All of us brought into the office. And I just totally got away with this. And it's really interesting why. Like, there's probably 6 or 7 guys in the office, in the principal's office, sitting there. And they did that thing where they bring you in and they just let you sit there.
Yeah.
He's not there yet. They're like, he'll be in a minute. And then now I look back and I know they were listening to us. That's why they left us sitting in there, because that's when we were going to spill all the fucking beans. Yeah, we totally talk about it and give up everything that they don't know yet, you know. But so we sat there, and no one said a fucking word. And then finally the principal came in and he said, if there's anybody that doesn't feel that they should be in here right now or whatever, speak now. And this other kid raised his hand, and the principal said, yeah. And he goes, I don't see why Ben Bailey's in here. I don't think he did anything.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, huh? Totally guilty. And the principal just goes, Ben, you can leave. Really? And I left, and I got out of it.
Wow.
Just by that weird stroke of, like, this other kid didn't know that I was involved, or, like, I don't know. So bizarre. Totally saved my ass.
Or someday that guy's going to come back and ask you for a favor.
Yeah, right, but now, exactly.
Ben.
I've been picking up envelopes for him ever since. But so everyone that didn't get lucky like I did just got a slap on the wrist anyway. They said, you can't do that.
It's different.
And we were terrorizing the younger kids. Do you know, like, we would have been kicked out of school.
Yeah.
Now.
And, you know, there's got to be, like, we were beating them up. Balance. I think we've gone too far over, you know, in protecting our kids. I kind of feel that I do. I but it's tough. Everywhere you see something bad happen, you see news 24/7, you see something bad happen, you feel, you know, whatever. I think about the freedoms we had. Remember, we could just get away. So we used to go to the shore. Remember, we just go to the shore in high school? The shore is the beach for everybody else who's not from New Jersey, right?
Yes.
We went down the shore.
You
guys go to the beach, we go down the shore, right?
Yep.
But, you know, it would be like 16, 17 years old. You're just like, I'm going down the shore for the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know where you're staying or whatever. You just go down, and literally they would rent you, like, a place at a motel.
Yeah.
And you just go rent. We used to rent the same place every year down in Wildwood.
Yep.
I was like 17 years old. And I had to carry the keg in to the hotel room that they were. I couldn't imagine, like, you need like 4 forms of ID to do that, to get it, you know, and to rent a car, you got to be like 25 or whatever. It's just crazy.
You couldn't do any of it.
We just go down and just, we're going to go
around. Just drink for
four days
straight.
Yeah.
One year there was 14 of us, and we drank 12 kegs in 3 days.
Damn. In a two-room.
We're like.
In a two-room.
That's
hotel.
Almost a keg each. What's wrong with us?
We started having a party. Like, we'd start inviting people off the street, and like it became like a house. It became like a dance party.
The people downstairs were like, there's beer dripping through the ceiling.
and the wall's bowing. The ceiling is bowing. The ceiling was bowing.
It's Nightmare on Elm Street with beer.
Oh, God. I remember we went down the shore one weekend. Again, I was like in high school. I was with a friend. I don't think you were with us in this. And he was going down to meet this girl. And, you know, she was a little bit older, probably like 18, 19, but I was like still in high school. And we go down. We're going down. I'm going to see this girl. You're going to come with me. She got friends, whatever. Have a good time. So we go down. We show up at their place.
Right.
Where they're staying, and they're nowhere to be found. We were kind of running late or whatever, and they just, we're going out, like, whatever.
Right.
So we're sitting here, you know, there's no texting. We have no idea where they are, so we're hanging out in the apartment. They left it open, let the door open for us, and we're hanging out, and we start drinking their beer, and, you know, their beer's running out and everything, and now we're getting pissed, and my friend's like, this is bullshit. You know, I came down here to see her. She's gone. There's like 50 bars down here. I have no idea where she is, so we're getting really angry. So we're kind of messing around with stuff, and we're like, all right, let's get out of here. Let's mess with them. So we like start taking stuff from their house.
So we
take like their hard alcohol, a couple bottles of hard alcohol. And then my other buddy goes out back and he sees they got tiki torches around the deck. So he takes all the tiki torches. And then there's a bike out there, a beach cruiser. So we take the beach cruisers, like, all right, this is good. We're on our way out. And then somebody had the bright idea to take the little teacup dog. What are those dogs called? The like a, not a Shar Pei, but those little...
Like an actual dog?
A Shih Tzu. A Shih Tzu. An actual Shih Tzu. They had a dog was
there. I thought you meant like a teacup that looked like a dog.
No.
You took the dog.
A teacup.
You guys stole their dog.
So we took the dog. We were going to really steal the dog. But we were like, all right, well, this will give them a message that we were here. And they didn't, you know, they weren't around.
You leave us hanging. So we're going to drink your beer and steal your fucking dog.
It's like 11:30. We're going down the street. We got a beach cruiser and these tiki torches, you know, long ones that go on the ground. And like a dog in the basket of the beach cruiser. Or, you know, we kind of hug it. We thought it was funny, and then we're like, "All right, we gotta get rid of this dog. I don't want to be responsible for this dog." So we brought everything back, and you know, just,
and that was it.
Yeah, they were a little. It was like 1 o'clock. They were back at that point, a little bit pissed off.
Oh, but they were.
Like she was
stuff?
Freaking out about yeah. the dog. I don't think he ever talked to the girl again.
Right.
You know, but I was 17 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. Oh man.
And I see my mom like Sunday
if
morning.
We could only
oh,
have
hi,
it
mom.
All
how that. You doing? Oh, did you have a good weekend? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty
yeah, it's
good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Stole a dog.
It's pretty right. good.
Stole a dog. Returned it. Got a reward.
Brought it back. No big deal.
No big deal. <That's> it was just great, rented man. The dog. It was a cute dog. A little Shih Tzu.
Well, this has been another great episode of Tall But True, guys. Thanks to our guest, Mr. Jeff Krieger.
Jeff Krieger.
First time
great
doing
to be here,
radio.
Guys. This is great. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well done, sir.
Thanks.
You handled it quite well. Great stories. Thanks for checking out Tall But True again, guys. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. You can find us on Audio Boom now, as well as tallbuttrue.com or iTunes or on my website, therealbenbailey.com, which is also where you'll figure out where I'm going to be on tour and what's going on with me, as well as short films or specials or anything that's coming up. DC Benny, where can they find you?
The Real DC Benny on Instagram and dcbenny.com. And, you know, I'll tweet my dates, Real DC Benny.
Follow DC and go see him live. He's hilarious.
Yes, indeed.
And the same goes for me, goddamn.
Yes, Dan.
Jeff Krieger, you don't need to know where to find him because he's not in this business.
The real Jeff Krieger at nowhere.
At nowhere.com.
Go F yourself.
At civilian.
At stolen poodle.
Exactly.
Jeff Krieger at stolenpoodle.net. All right. Thanks, everybody. That's it. We'll you'll hear us next time.